Here now to prepare our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper. Oops. You're right, it is a little tricky. one of my favorite shows of all time, and I think one of the great TV shows of all time, is the Andy Griffith Show. Good moral lessons, good comedy, good clean comedy. And there's an early episode when Opie trades his cat pistol for some licorice seeds, as a young boy might foolishly do. Now, if you're wondering what licorice seeds are, well, they're not real. And Opie finds this out when his licorice seeds don't grow into licorice sticks. Now, he then tries to trade his licorice seeds for a good pair of roller skates. Now, Andy finds this out, and like a good father, he teaches Opie about the golden rule. He says, do unto others. And he talks about the importance of a fair trade. And this lesson, of course, will backfire on Andy later as he makes up this tall tale about something he's trying to trade later in the episode. But in the end, the lesson is learned by all parties, a fair and honest trade. If you give something, what you receive in return should be of equal value. It should be something that both parties have agreed upon. That's generally the way we operate in society, that you enter into an agreement, you give something, you get something back in return. For example, the bank gave us money to buy our house. Now we pay the bank back with interest. That was the agreement that we made. Now, whether it was fair or not, we made that agreement, okay? That's what we agreed to. Now, not all trades do seem fair. Matthew 26, 28, Jesus speaks of the new covenant. And he says, which is his blood for my forgiveness. And that is the agreement that he made. And it seems a bit one side of an arrangement, if you ask me. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I would just like to take a look at some scriptures from the final hours of Jesus, before Jesus' death. Because what we see is a stark difference in what Jesus gave up compared to what we receive in return. So the first verse is Luke 22, verses 47 through 48. And while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And later that same night, we see Peter, one of his closest followers, one who said he would never betray Jesus, do exactly that, not just once, but three times. Jesus received betrayal, and the opposite of betrayal is faithfulness. And we can be certain that God has shown us faithfulness. We can read about that in Lamentations 3:22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And so right away, we can see here what Jesus gave to what we receive, a little bit of an imbalance. Let's continue reading, Luke chapter 22, verse 64. And they also blindfolded him and kept asking him, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And here we see the pain that Jesus experienced as he was blindfolded and beaten. Isaiah 53, 5 describes him being pierced, and we know that being on a cross, he would have nails driven through his hands and his feet. Mark chapter 10, verse 34 tells us that he was flogged with cords of leather, which would have had bone or metal attached to it. And so we see Jesus receiving pain, and yet we receive healing. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And another verse to convey that is 1 Peter 2:24 that says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So pain for him, healing for us. Let's read John chapter 19, verse 1 through 2. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. So here we see Jesus being given a crown of thorns, not just as a means of torture, but also as a way to mock him, that he was not accepted for what he said he was, which was king. And yet, while Jesus received a crown of thorns, we receive a different kind of crown. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to also all who have loved his appearing." In Matthew 27, verse 46, it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And here we see Jesus crying out to the Father that he's been left all alone, abandoned by his followers and seemingly by the Father himself. And the one who had all power in a state where he has ceded the use of that power willingly. And yet while Jesus was forsaken, we are protected. And we can read about that in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so finally, we read John chapter 19, verse 30. "And when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." And here we see Jesus in this trade, in this covenant, giving up his life. And this is the depiction of John gives of Jesus' last words for his death. And it says that he gave up his spirit. And that's important because his life was not taken from him. Jesus gave his life. He gave it up on his own so that we may have life. 1 John 5:11 through 12 says, "And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." And so his life for our life. And it doesn't seem, again, like much of a fair trade here. Romans 5:8 tells us that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so think about that. It's already not a fair trade, but Jesus did this, and God entered into this agreement for us when we were still sinners, when we were his enemies. So when we talk about a trade and a covenant, there's one side and there's another. You're going to receive something, you're going to give something back. So what can we give back to God? Well, first, let's be clear. We cannot offer anything to God, anything that equals Jesus' life. Ephesians 2:8 affirms that for us. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." And so all that we can do then is to do what God asks of us. And at the Last Supper, Jesus told his apostles three things that we can do. In John chapter 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." In John 14, 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in Luke 22, 17 through 19, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so when I think about the fairness of the covenant that God has made with us and read the scriptures that we've read today and see that stark contrast of what Jesus gave and what we receive, it makes me think of the lyrics to the hymn "At the Cross." "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote a sacred head, his sacred head, for sinners such as I?" And so I'm not sure that I'll ever fully comprehend why God traded Jesus' life for mine, but God tells us that for whatever suffering Jesus endured, that it was worth it. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so God was willing to make that trade. That is the magnitude of God's love for us. And that is what he was willing to do to redeem us, and how grateful we should be for that. Let's now take the Lord's Supper.